Maya, Chaksu Sumiratan Sena Tasmaya Sri Girave Nama. Sri Chaitanya Manavistam Stapitam Jaina Bhutale Sayam Upakadamayam Dadati Sapandantikam. Manj Kapatibhyas Cha Pritisandu Vayi Vaja Pratitanam Pamenebhyo Vaishnavya Namo Nama. We were reading last a pastime of Krishna's just after Krishna dealt with Indra. And now when Nanda Maharaj was carried away by Varunadev, and the demigod in charge of the water, Krishna rescued him, his father. And when Krishna was there, even in the in the presence of Nanda Maharaj, Varuna offered many, many prayers and glorified Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The greatest, or amongst the greatest of the demigods, in the presence of Nanda Maharaj, glorified Krishna. And then Nanda Maharaj was released. And then we'll read text 10. Nanda Maharaj had been astonished to see for the first time the great opulence of Varuna. There he was, living in the topmost position in Goloka Vrindavan. And he was astonished to see the opulences of Varunadev. And also he was astonished to see how Varuna and his servants had offered such humble respect to Krishna. Nanda, he returned when he was out of the water. He was sitting amongst his cowherd, the cowherd men and friends. And he described all of this to his fellow cowherd men. There's a comment by Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur here that we'll read. Nanda Maharaj was astonished to see for the first time the fabulous opulence of Varuna, the ruler of the ocean planet. The word tesham is plural in number to indicate that Varuna and his followers were offering obeisances to Krishna. After breaking the fast at the proper time, because after Ekadasi, one breaks the fast, that's the Dvadasi. So after breaking the fast at the proper time, Nanda Maharaj sat comfortably and spoke to his friends and his relatives. Here's the 11th verse. Hearing about Krishna's pastimes with Varuna, the cowherd men considered that Krishna must be the Supreme Lord. And their minds, O King, because Sukadev Goswami is speaking to the king, Maharaj Prakrit, their minds became filled with eagerness. They thought, will the Supreme Lord bestow upon us his transcendental abode? So of course this is on one level very humorous or ironic, because they were already in the most transcendental, the topmost position already, because they were in Vrindavan with Krishna. And yet, seeing the opulences, the external opulences of Varuna, they were thinking that there were other situations more fortunate than theirs. Now, there'll be explanations a little later on how it is possible that they were thinking like this. But here's the purport here. The cowherd men were filled with excitement upon hearing how Krishna had gone to the abode of Varuna to rescue his father. Suddenly realizing that they were in fact dealing with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they joyfully conjectured amongst themselves about their auspicious destination after finishing their present life. So they were thinking we're associating with the Supreme Lord. Oh, He can give us whatever we want. Oh, maybe He'll liberate us. Maybe He'll do this. Maybe He'll do that. Maybe He'll fill us with opulences. They were already on the topmost position, experiencing the greatest ecstasy yet. They were thinking like this. Here is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment to 11. Realizing that they were in fact dealing with the Supreme Lord, the cowherd men became eager to know if Sri Krishna would take them to His own transcendental abode of Vaikuntha, or the spiritual world after death. The cowherd men said, because Nanda Maharaj had just come back and he was glorifying Krishna, they said to Nanda Maharaj, "O Nanda, previously you told us that Gauga Muni had said that Krishna was like Narayan, but not identical with Narayan, not exactly the same as the Supreme Lord, but like Him. But now you have concluded that Krishna is God by directly hearing Varuna praising Him. We think your son Krishna should fulfill the desires of your friends in this material world." We are your friends. They were not conscious of the actual situation. We are not conscious of the actual situation of what is reality, what is the relationship of everything to the Supreme Lord. We tend to think everything is eternal here. Well, in fact, nothing is eternal. We tend to think that every situation we are in will last forever. But this is, of course, not true. We are forgetful of reality. We cannot conceive of reality, practically speaking. But this is the material world, and that is done with Krishna's external energy. Mama Maya Dratyaya. Krishna's external energy. But the residents of Goloka Vrindavan, Nanda Maharaj, they were all eternal associates of Krishna. They all had full love for Krishna. Krishna had the fullest love for them. And they were continuously and always feeling ecstasy. But yet, they also weren't aware of everything due to the influence of Krishna's Yoga Maya. This will be explained quite soon. There's Mahamaya and there's Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya is Krishna's internal energy that facilitates the love of a living entity with Krishna. Because if one is always aware of Krishna's full position as the Supreme Lord and all His opulences, then that will diminish the love. So that's the job of Yoga Maya, to increase the love, not diminish the love. But in the material world, there is Mahamaya, whose position is just like the keeper of the prison house, that to keep all the prisoners, all with the criminal mentality, all locked up very tightly. So that type of forgetfulness of Krishna's position is vastly different from the forgetfulness of the residents of the spiritual world. But yet, so here, the residents in Vrindavan, upon understanding that Krishna's position, and there'll be some finer discriminations about this in a bit, they were eager to know if they were going to go back to Godhead. So Narayan, so the coward man said, "O Nanda, previously you told us that Gauga Muni had said that Krishna was like Narayan, but not identical to Narayan. But now you've concluded that Krishna is God by directly hearing Varuna's praising Him. We think your son Krishna should fulfill the desires of your friends, because beside being the Supreme Lord, Krishna is also the son of our brothers, the son of our sisters. He's like family. He's the son of our daughters. We love Krishna. And Krishna loves us. Therefore, naturally, He should fulfill our desires." So Krishna said, "O coward men, please take whatever you desire from the Supreme Lord." And one coward man said, "We should take liberation." Again, this is the comment of Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Another said, "Let us become residents of the spiritual world of Vaikuntha. Every cowherd man had a different desire. Although the cowherd men were seeing Krishna as God, it did not even slightly diminish the intimacy of their relationship with him. That's like, again, if a very, very wealthy person walks in here, and perhaps you even know him and he's a friend, but you won't be able to forget his position of wealth. And that will affect the nature of your loving relationship with him. The nature, it will contaminate in a sense. This is simplicity of love. But if that wealthy person's mother has such a deep and long-standing loving relationship with him, her love is not diminished by knowledge of how much wealth the person possesses. So that is like the residents of Vrindavan. Their wealth was their love for Krishna. And it was so powerful, so strong. Even when they understood that he was the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their love did not diminish even by one atom. So it did not slightly diminish the intimacy of their relationship with him. However, that was not the case with Krishna's father Vasudev, because there's a verse that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur quotes that where Vasudev, Krishna's father, he says, "You too, Krishna Balaram, are the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I shall bow down to you," something like that. And also, Arjuna, when he saw the universal form, he became frightened and he begged forgiveness for his previous intimate dealings. In other words, when these two who had love for Krishna, but not perfectly deep like the residents of Vrindavan have love for Krishna, when they experienced or understood Krishna's position, their love and intimacy was diminished. But when Mother Yasoda asked Krishna to open his mouth to see whether or not he had eaten dirt, she just basically told him, she saw everything within his mouth, the entirety of the universe, and she basically just said, "Close your mouth, Krishna, don't eat dirt anymore." This is the love of the residents of Vrindavan. It is unparalleled. They don't care that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Sometimes they know, sometimes they don't know, but they don't care. All they know is our friend, our son, our beloved Krishna is the most wonderful, the most lovable, the most clever, the most wonderful person, and we love him so much. That is the nature of the residents of Vrindavan's love. So now, text 12. So they're asking, will the Supreme Lord bestow upon us a transcendental abode? Text 12. Because he sees everything, Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, automatically understood what the cowherd men were conjecturing, what they were wondering. Wanting to show his compassion to them by fulfilling their desires, the Lord thought as follows. This is text 12. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments. Understanding the mind of his relatives, Swanam means his very own kind, Krishna thought how to fulfill their desire, since he knew about all the types of bliss available in Brahman, Vaikuntha, and Vrajabhumi. According to the degree of his devotee's prema, according to the particular degree, the intensity, and the particular flavor of his devotee's love for him, the particular way that a devotee wants to love Krishna, Krishna usually covers or forgets his majesty. But in this case, his Leela Shakti, because Krishna doesn't act exactly as a Supreme Personality, he doesn't act with all his Aishwarya, all his opulences in the presence of the residents of Vrindavan. Rather, he acts as just like a little boy, the most wonderful little boy. But in this particular case, so that's Krishna's general way of dealing with the particular love that's shown to him. But in this particular case, Krishna's Lila Shakti, his potency that arranges his pastimes, inspired him with full awareness of all his majestic forms simultaneously, because this was required for the Lila. Krishna thought, because of tasting the rich sweetness of Krishna Prema, these cowherd men have understood that the attainment of Brahman and Vaikuntha are insignificant, merging with the Lord, just like at the class last night when we asked about what the best thing was. One lady, very innocently, but she said the best thing is to merge with the Supreme. But that's the desire of someone who's in the prison, who's thinking that the best thing is simply to get out. It is the desire of liberation. But there's such a high price one pays for the absence of misery. And that high price is one loses one's individuality and therefore one's ability to serve Krishna. And then one loses out on the highest of ecstasies, which is to exchange love with Krishna, giving Krishna everything and Krishna becoming conquered by one's love and one's being insignificant, even one being raised in ecstasy to experience more bliss than even Krishna experiences. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that the cowherd men actually understood the relative gradations of these different aspects of transcendental bliss. Brahman is Sayuja Mukti, the merging, the losing of oneself, and Vaikuntha means to go to the spiritual world. But nevertheless, I will permit them to realize the bliss of Brahman and Vaikuntha in order to fulfill the desires they are manifesting while playing the roles of unintelligent human beings. So Krishna decided that he was going to give them the experience of Brahman and the experience of the spiritual world, Vaikuntha, but a more formal aspect of the spiritual world than Goloka Vrindavan. He decided to fulfill their desire, because this is Krishna's Leela. Lord Krishna thought, certainly people in this world are wandering amongst higher and lower destinations. So he's speaking now, and there's different meanings. One meaning, and if you listen to it, it sounds like he's talking about ordinary people, not resonants of the spiritual world who are associating with Krishna. But another meaning, he's actually glorifying the resonance of Vrindavan and the effects of the yoga maya, which makes them forget Krishna's majesty. So certainly people in this world are wandering amongst higher and lower destinations, which they achieve through activities performed according to their desires and without full knowledge. So they get destinations, the residents of Vrindavan, they get destinations according to their desire, they get a result according to their desire, and it's without full knowledge, because yoga maya covers their understanding of who Krishna is, and their desire is just to love and please Krishna. Thus people do not know their real destination, which means that the residents of Vrindavan, under the influence of yoga maya, under the influence of the Lord's spiritual energy, which covers their knowledge of who Krishna is in order to increase the intimacy of their love, they don't know that they're actually in the highest destination. All they know is that they love Krishna. But they're acting as if they were ordinary men while they are the most extraordinary and ordinary, the most extraordinary of personalities. So here there's a bit of a long purport by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Although this verse appears to refer to conditioned souls, ordinary persons, because the verse again says Certainly people in this world are wandering amongst higher and lower destinations, Brahmanda Brahmate, Konya Bhagyavanji, which they achieve through activities performed according to their desire and without full knowledge. Everyone wanders from body to body to body in the material world, and they don't know what the ultimate destination is. So that's how it's looked at. This verse is looked at when it refers to ordinary people. So although it appears to refer to conditioned souls, this verse actually applies to the eternally liberated residents of Sri Vrindavan. Krishna thought, all the desires and actions of my father and the Brijvasis are solely dedicated for my pleasure. And seeing me as a helpless child, they are completely unaware of avidya, because the word avidya, which means ignorance or lack of knowledge, is used in the verse. They are completely unaware that I am the supreme God of all the universes. Wandering in this land of Vrindavan, they have no knowledge of the higher destinations. They don't care, because they are in the highest destination. In this way, the Brijvasis are completely unaware of their own exalted position as my eternal associates in Sri Vrindavan Dham's Svam Gatim, which is rarely achieved by others, the greatest of yogis, the greatest of demigods, the greatest of rishis. They pray, Uddhava, even great devotees and friends of Krishna, very, very rare and difficult to achieve the intimacy and therefore the intensity of the love that the residents of Vrindavan have for Krishna. And that love, the nature of their love, causes Krishna to manifest or to show all the completeness of his personality, because they are so trustworthy. They are so full of love, so therefore, it's almost as if he can relax and show what he's really like. You can't do that amongst people who you don't trust, because then they can in some way hurt you or harm you or something or criticize you. So Krishna, of course, is not fearful, but he cannot manifest his actual nature to those who do not love him fully, because there is no way that they can reciprocate with that. They can't actually understand that or enter into that relationship. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur continues. When my father saw the opulences of Varuna, which are only material, he then considered this Vrindavan, which is the essence of Vaikuntha, to be inferior to the planet of Varuna. It is just like the fool who, upon seeing the form and luster of an inferior pearl, considers a first-class, most valuable pearl to be inferior. Thus the cowherd men see themselves inferior to Varuna, and think attaining liberation and residence in Vaikuntha is greater than the unique sweetness they relish in loving me as their son. Liberation and Vaikuntha both depend on me, but I am completely independent. Nevertheless, it is seen that sometimes I'm dependent on love, on prema. Though it is evident to all the Brijvasis do not recognize it. They do not recognize, because they are living in it. They're living within it, and they're not conscious of it, in the sense that they're not conscious of what they're just experiencing in it. There's no consciousness of self-consciousness of the unique position that they have. They're not watching it, because that would detach themselves from it as almost like observers. Rather, they're immersed in this ocean of ecstasy. So the Brijvasis don't recognize their own position. Some people become liberated and realize the happiness of Brahman. Brahma Samhita says, Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadanda Koti. Brahman is the effulgence coming out of my body. Brahman is unlimited and beyond Maya. I myself say in the Bhagavad Gita, Brahmanohi Pratishtaham, I am the basis of impersonal Brahman. The Matsya Avatar says, my greatness is called the Param Brahma. Thus Brahman, which is the all-pervading formless light of my effulgence, is beyond material perception. However, I am also eternally present in various sweet personal forms, which can be relished by one whose senses are anointed with prema. As for Vaikuntha, so these were the two requests that the residents of Vrindavan had. Oh, can we become liberated? Can we experience this Brahman? Can we experience Vaikuntha? So he's explained that Brahman is just the effulgence coming from him. As for Vaikuntha, Padma Purana says, Mathura Mandala is far superior to Vaikuntha. Brahmanohi Pratishtaham means that the Brahman effulgence rests upon Krishna and emanates from him. And here the reference is from the Padma Purana that Mathura Mandala is far superior to Vaikuntha, and within Mathura is Vrindavan, the eternal transcendental pleasure abode of Sri Krishna, which remains unaffected even by the annihilation of the material world. So here, Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur is quoting different scriptural references to indicate the superiority of Vrindavan over all other places and all other realizations, even if those realizations are spiritual. This is such a unique and incredible conception of spiritual life and spiritual realizations, of what the spiritual world is like. The concept of heaven, or the topmost concept, is explained here to the greatest degree. So the Gopal Tapani Upanishad says, of the seven cities on Burloka, Gopalpuri, the residence of Gopal, is the very form of Brahman, means that it is composed of spiritual substance. Gopalapuri exists on this earth just as a lotus floats on a lake. Ramana Vamana Purana says, when the universe becomes invisible at the time of devastation, only the infinite, eternal, non-material Vaikuntha remains, spreading its rays of blissful Brahman. Thus, though Vrindavan is far superior to both Brahman and Vaikuntha, the cowherd men desire to attain the experience of Brahman and Vaikuntha only because they have not seen them with their own eyes. Therefore, I will now reveal them to them directly. And then to show how the verse couldn't be saying that this was the actual desire of the cowherd men, he quotes a verse from Lord Brahma's prayers in the 14th chapter saying, where Brahma says, what can you give? Because Brahma says, I'm wondering how you are going to reciprocate, because love should be reciprocated equally. According to how much one gives love, one expects more or less an equal reciprocation. So Brahma says, what can you give to those Brijbasis who will not accept the position of liberation or Vaikuntha, even if you offer it? They only actually have one desire, and that is to love Krishna, to please Krishna. So thus, deeply considering the situation, the all-merciful, supreme personality of Godhead, Hari, revealed to the cowherd men his abode, which is beyond material darkness. So the purport here says, it is clear from this verse that the absolute truth dwells in his own eternal abode. Every one of us tries to live as comfortably as possible, surrounding ourselves with peace and beauty. How can we, in the name of logic, begrudge the Supreme Lord, our Creator, the supremely beautiful and comfortable abode known by people in general as the Kingdom of God? So he has his own abode. And this verse indicates that Krishna actually showed the residents of Vrindavan first his own abode. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur comments, Considering the situation, Krishna, out of his infinite compassion, Mahakaruniko, for the Brijbasis, he separated the cowherd men from Vrindavan for a few moments. Because Vrindavan has its own atmosphere, which is uniquely sweet and intimate, because of its the special nature of the love of the residents of Vrindavan. So for a few moments, Krishna separated the cowherd men, while always immersed in that Vrindavan sweetness. And he showed them his own attractively charming spiritual planet, Krishna Loka. So he's showing them a different variety of Krishna Loka, it appears. Krishna did this to show them that the sweetness of Vrindavan was superior to Brahman and Vaikuntha. So he shows them his own abode of Krishna Loka. And then, and in 15, Lord Krishna, this is the next thing he did, revealed the indestructible spiritual effulgence, Brahman, which is unlimited, conscious, and eternal. Sages see that spiritual existence in trance when their consciousness is free of the modes of material nature. And this is basically the impersonalist and the Advaita Jnani type of meditators do. Even in Perth, even little humble Perth, these type of people exist, and they visit from overseas and they hold their satsangs, and basically their expertise is in slowing down the mind. And by slowing down the mind, the actions of the three modes of material nature, goodness, passion, and ignorance, stops. So that's what's said here. The yogis or the sages see this Brahman when the three modes of material nature is removed, goodness, passion, ignorance, are removed from their consciousness. And this is basically what happens. When the mind stops, there is no longer the influence of goodness, passion, and ignorance. And when the mind slows down, it is such a relief. It's incredible. We forget how we are tortured, basically, all day long by our mind. It's going on and on and on and on and on and on. And because we fully identify with the mind, we actually suffer so much. So when the mind is slowed down, that influence is removed, and immediately one is enlightened, practically speaking. That's all it takes. It's to stop the identification with the mind and stop the mind from running all over the universe thinking about what? Yeah, that's the essence of it, thinking about Chaitanya. That's thinking, it's all self-centered and thinking what? Oh, I've done this right, I've done this wrong. I want this, I don't want that. This person did this, that person did that. I want to do this with this person, I don't want to do that. So the center is always me, 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 me. And it just runs, it's just grabbing one thing after the next and pushing other things. And one after another, after another, after another, after another. And this way, it makes us... And first of all, first of all, what it does is it just takes away our whole life, practically speaking. We have no life. Because we're always, first of all, we're always somewhere else other than where we are. And second of all, because we have no time to, because our mind is always engaged in these, you could say, insane ways. It's basically insanity, basic, simple insanity. Because our mind is, just imagine, first of all, if people could read your mind, That would be very embarrassing. And worse than that, would be able to read everyone else's mind, because then you'd have all that. It's basically insanity. Nothing more, nothing less. So that, when that is removed, the actions of the mind, by removing the actions of the three modes of material nature, then in that consciousness one can very, very easily get the incredible happiness of Brahman. So here is the purport here. This is text 15. In text 14, Lord Krishna revealed to the residents of Vrindavan his own abode, the spiritual planet of Krishna Loka. This and innumerable other Vaikuntha planets float in an infinite ocean of spiritual light called the Brahma Jyoti. Brahman means, you could say, spiritual or the greatest, and Jyoti means light. That spiritual light is in fact the spiritual sky which Krishna also quite naturally revealed to the residents of Vrindavan. For example, if we want to show the moon to a child, we say, look up in the sky, see the moon over there in the sky? Similarly, Krishna revealed the vast spiritual sky to the residents of Vrindavan, but as emphasized in text 14 and in the following text 16, the actual destination of the Lord's associates was his own spiritual planet. We'll read the comment of Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur here. 2:15. The form of Bhagavan Sri Krishna is much sweeter than the impersonal Brahman effulgence. This is confirmed by the realization of Atmaramas, or self-satisfied souls, such as Sukadeva Goswami. Though the form of Bhagavan is also all-pervading, he appears localized in a form of medium-sized human-like. Though Bhagavan Sri Krishna is freed from the six transformations of material nature, he seems to undergo birth, growth, and so on. Bhagavan is free from the six material disturbances of hunger, thirst, and so on, yet he seems to undergo hunger and thirst, perspire and become tired, express fear and bewilderment, and receive blows in battle. This is because Bhagavan Sri Krishna has unlimited, inconceivable energies. So this is all Krishna's lila, how he appears to be playing, to be doing this, to be hungry, to be crying because he doesn't have enough food, and pulling on his mother's sari because he's hungry. He's stealing, he's so hungry and so naughty, he's stealing butter, milking cows, having Nanda Maharaj milk the cow directly, from the cow's udder directly into his mouth. So this is called Naralila. This is Krishna's human-like activities. But they are not performed by a human, they are human-like. Or we could say, another way of saying it is that our activities are God-like. Because the reflection, after all, is a reflection of reality. So these activities go on in the spiritual world, but they are not self-centered, and everyone's minds are fully absorbed in Krishna. They're fully absorbed in Krishna. But yet Krishna appears, because just as the reflection appears, just like the actual object, Krishna appears, the actual object, Krishna appears to be performing activities of this world. But the actual reality is it is Krishna having nothing to do with this world or the modes of material nature, and Krishna exhibiting his inconceivable energies. Similarly, Vrindavan, like the body of the Lord, which spreads itself through millions of universes, as seen by Brahma, is also limited and localized. Just like Krishna's body appears to be localized. The Lord says, this Vrindavan, spread over five yojanas, is like my body, Yojana is how many miles again? 8, is it? And though the scriptures proclaim that the moving and non-moving entities of Vrindavan are free from the 6 material disturbances, hunger, thirst, lamentation, illusion, old age and death, one sees to his astonishment that the men, animals, birds and trees in Vrindavan experience hunger, thirst, birth, old age, want and dissolution. That was Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. Srila Sridharaswamy comments on text 15. Because it is impossible for those who are covered by material bodies to see such a thing, first of all, Krishna revealed to them the identity of Brahman, which is distinct from the material body and so forth. This is described in the verse beginning, Satyam. So he showed them the Brahma Jyoti, the Brahmins which the Jnanis see when the material mode subsides. He showed them. And then 16. The coward men were brought by Lord Krishna. Next, he brought them to the Brahma Ridda, which means the Brahma Lake, and they were made to submerge in the water, and then lifted up. From the same vantage point that Akura saw the spiritual world, the coward men saw the planet of the Absolute Truth. The unlimited purport, the unlimited extension of spiritual light called the Brahma Jyoti in text 15 is compared to a lake called Brahma Ridha. Lord Krishna submerged the coward men in that lake in the sense that he submerged them in awareness of the impersonal Brahman. But then, as indicated by the word Udritaha, he lifted them up to a higher understanding, that of the personality of Godhead in his own planet. As clearly stated here, the drishya brahmano lokam, they saw, just as Akura did, the transcendental abode of the Lord. We'll just read that first paragraph and read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. Sridharaswamy's comment. He brought them to that lake of Brahman in the sense that Brahman, so this text follows the last text. So this is basically using more or less an analogy showing what he did. He submerged them in this Brahman effulgence, the bliss of Brahman merging. He brought them to that lake of Brahman in the sense that Brahman is like a lake. And then when one is in that, one loses all awareness. He brought them to that and submerged them in it. But particularly, it is then expressed by the word two, which is described. Then they were again lifted out by Krishna, they out of their trance. And then they saw that the planet of that Brahman, they saw Vaikuntha, the spiritual world. And then further describing that absolute truth more particularly, the vision of it as such is described by the words beginning tute. Brahman here refers to the general undifferentiated form of the absolute mentioned above. They were brought, made to find out and submerge, and brought to the state of perceiving only that undifferentiated oneness. After that, they were lifted up, further elevated by its manifesting in a particular form, and they saw it. The words beginning Brahmana, at that place where Akura experienced that which lies beyond material nature, they saw Vaikuntha. So then they saw the spiritual world, the manifestation of Brahman. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur comments to 16. The unlimited spiritual effulgence called the Brahma Jyoti in text 15 is compared to a lake called Brahma Ridha, which actually exists in the river Jamuna. Sri Krishna submerged the cowherd men in that lake literally, and also in the sense that he submerged them in the awareness of the impersonal Brahman. So both occurred. But then, as indicated by the word Udritaha, Krishna lifted them up to a higher understanding, that of the personality of Godhead in his own planet, Krishna Loka. This is also stated in the Bhagavatam 2.7.31, Lokam Vaikuntham Upanishati Gokulam Sma. Krishna showed them Gokul, the highest planet in the spiritual sky. As the materialist is taken from the lake of matter to the realization of Brahman, so the coward men were taken from the lake of Brahman realization to the direct perception of Goloka Vrindavan, the spiritual world, Krishna's blissful Premadham, his abode of love. The bliss of Krishna Prema in Golok, in Gokul, far exceeds the paltry, loveless happiness in Brahman, where one loses all sense of existence. It's like compared to the when you sleep. There's different states of sleeping. One is when you're dreaming, and then sometimes we have a deep, deep sleep where there's no dreaming even. And that deep sleep of no dreaming is very restful. That is compared to Brahman. So very wonderful when you're very when you're suffering and really tired. But the higher realization is beyond any material existence. It's the sweetness of the premadham of the of love for Krishna in Goloka Vrindavan. The pastime involving Akura takes place later in the Bhagavatam, and the reason Sukadeva Goswami says Akura saw Vaikunthapur previously is that all these incidents took place many years before the conversation between Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Prakrit. And now the final verse in this chapter. Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men felt the greatest happiness when they saw that transcendental abode, Goloka Vrindavan. They were especially amazed to see Krishna himself there, surrounded by the personified Vedas, who were offering him prayers. Purport. Although the residents of Vrindavan considered themselves ordinary persons, Lord Krishna wanted them to know of their extraordinary good fortune. Thus, within a lake in the Yamuna River, the Lord showed them his personal abode. The cowherd men were amazed to see that the kingdom of God had exactly the same spiritual atmosphere as their own earthly Vrindavan, and that just as in their Vrindavan, Lord Krishna was personally present, in their unique vision, he was present as the Lord of the spiritual world. Their Krishna was there. They saw their Krishna there. And this will be explained in a few more. Read Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's explanation. But there he was being worshipped by all kinds of exalted beings and the personified Vedas. It was their Krishna, though, in the same atmosphere of Vrindavan. As Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur points out, these verses emphasize that Lord Krishna did not merely show the cowherd men a sample of Vaikuntha planet, but that he specifically revealed his Krishna Loka, the greatest of eternal abodes and the natural home of the residents of Vrindavan, who loved Krishna more than anyone else did. Now here's Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's comment. Seeing Krishna Loka in the spiritual world, the cowherd men were amazed, and they were filled with the highest bliss. They experienced Krishna Loka to be just the same as the Vrindavan on earth. It is just like a millionaire who, having lost all his wealth, becomes full of bliss on finding some clue to his wealth. So they were put into Brahman, and that's like a millionaire losing all his wealth. And then they were raised to Krishna Loka, where everyone was worshipping Krishna with awe and reverence. And that was like, but the atmosphere was the same. That was like the millionaire getting a hint of his wealth. The clues to his wealth. They found that Sri Krishna, with his lotus face covered with drops of perspiration and worshipable by millions of their life heirs, was personally present as the Lord of the spiritual world. They saw him as the Lord of the spiritual world. In their unique vision, they were astonished to see Krishna being praised by the personified Vedas. This is Krishna's position. He is the supreme He is the Param Brahman, Param Dham. He is the Supreme Lord, the Supreme Abode. And all religious scriptures ultimately worship Him. So there, Krishna, this is the key to the mood of the Brijbasis. It's called Mamata. They are thinking of Krishna as their very own. So they saw their very own Krishna, the mother of the most wealthy person. She loves him simply as her son. And he's the owner and the corporate director of a huge corporation. So one day, he takes her to the boardroom where they're having a big meeting. And when he walks in, everyone stands up and claps their hands and says wonderful things about him. And he says, okay, you can all take your seats now. And he tells them the plan. But and she's thinking, oh, how wonderful it is. How wonderful. My son is so wonderful. But she's seeing him primarily as her son. But she's getting a glimpse of his opulence. She's seeing a different feature of her son. Now, which one has the more intimate relationship with him? It's obviously the mother. It's fully deep. There's, because there's more love. So this is what the cowherd men thought. Where have these effulgent beings come from? They're unknown to us, but we cannot ask them who they are. Though seeing us, Krishna does not display his boyish manners. He doesn't run to us, and he doesn't embrace us with his two arms, just like in the boardroom. The wealthy CEO, he can't run over to his mother and sit on her lap or something like that and give her a big hug. Well, she can't feed him right there in the boardroom. So that's how Krishna was acting. So it was astonishing for the Brijbasis to see Krishna in that mood. Though seeing us, Krishna does not display his boyish manners. He doesn't run to us. He doesn't embrace us with his two arms. So this is a hint of how topmost is this planet of Goloka Vrindavan, where there is no awe and reverence, and where the residents of Vrindavan and Krishna enjoy on the most intimate level of love, and therefore the ecstasies experienced by the residents of Vrindavan, they're of the highest, because where does happiness ultimately come from? It comes from love, an exchange of love. So who is the most, obviously, the most worthy recipient of love? It is obviously the most lovable person, the Supreme Lord. And if he's full of ecstasy, his body is composed of Satchidananda, eternity, bliss, and knowledge, then when one loves him, there's the exchange of that. Because in love there's an exchange of hearts, naturally. This is what love is. It's an exchange of hearts. So when the residents of Vrindavan or the devotees love Krishna, there's an exchange of heart and their ecstasies increase to the unlimited, past the unlimited ecstasies of Krishna. This will be explained a little later in the Bhagavatam. So though seeing us, Krishna does not display his boyish manners, run towards us and embrace us with his two arms. We also feel reluctant to approach him and take him on our laps. These are the cowherd men thinking. Today Krishna has forgotten hunger and thirst, but how can his mother live without feeding him? In this way, the cowherd men were astonished. So they were seeing Krishna in the boardroom being praised by everyone, but they could not forget who he actually was. They could not forget the intimacy, the love-filled intimacy of their relationship with him. That's how strong their love was. that it did not diminish the slightest bit. They were thinking how he may be able to not eat right now, because all day long Krishna was always being fed by everyone as he wandered around the village, and he was always eating everyone. He was eating the love. He was accepting the love that they were offering it. So here in Vaikuntha, he couldn't be in that mood. Or you can think of the prime minister when he's sitting in his official office. He's very official. He has to be sitting there. He can't put his feet up. He can't be eating all the time. So even if his mother's there, or his relatives, you know, they're seeing him like that. Okay, he's like that. But we wish he would relax. We can't wait till everyone leaves and everyone stops offering the prayers. And Mother Yasoda would be thinking, oh, let me feed him. He's gone a few hours without eating. He must be, oh, my poor boy, he's going to get so thin. So much love, only love. She doesn't care of his power. She sees it, maybe, but it doesn't touch her because of the dominance of her love. This is Vrindavan, the dominance, and therefore was called by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Premadham, the abode of love. And that is what everyone is longing for. And that is what we don't find in the material world. And that is the cause of our frustration, because it's not there in the material world, we relentlessly look. And we shouldn't. We should look to Krishna. So the coward men were astonished in this way. So employing her Leela Shakti, Yogamaya then brought the Brijbasis back to earthly Vrindavan. And Rupa Goswami has explained this fact in a verse in Stavamala. They had experienced Brahman. They had experienced Vaikuntha. They had experienced the Vrindavan where everyone was worshipping Krishna in opulence. They wanted to experience all this thing. And then they came back to their Vrindavan, where Krishna just runs and plays. And there they were so happy. So Rupa Goswami has described this in a verse from his Stavamala prayer book. May you be protected by Mukunda, who in order to teach the coward men that there is no place as sweet as earthly Vrindavan, he effortlessly showed them Krishna Loka in the spiritual world and then brought them back to earthly Gokul or Vrindavan. So we see that the demigods have their opulences and their jewels, and the spiritual world of Brahman has its effulgence and absence of misery and greatest and great pleasure of existence. And in Vaikuntha, the same Lord is worshipped in his spiritual form with great reverence, and everyone is praying to him. And then in Gokul, which is a Vaikuntha in which Krishna is the Supreme Lord, Krishna is there, but yet there's reverence. But the flavor is slightly different. And the flavor, the specific flavor of earthly Goloka Vrindavan, where Krishna doesn't display any opulences on one level, but he's just the all-attractive, most lovable, most sweet, most clever, most naughty, the object of everyone's love, and everyone is feeling like he's ours, he's my boy, he's my this, he's my son, he's my lover, he's mine, and everyone's consciousness is simply absorbed in their love for Krishna. That is to go there. And the awareness of that as being the topmost spiritual abode is the gift of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and that is the gift that Prabhupada was distributing. Okay, I'll stop here. So that's the end of the 28th chapter, and Krishna willing, tomorrow we shall begin 29. So it's important to remember, especially now that we're chapter 29 is the first chapter of what is called the Raspanchadhyaya, the five chapters of the Bhagavatam, which describe Krishna's dancing with the Braja Gopis in the middle of the night. So it's important before we read hear anything about this to understand this has nothing to do with the material world. In Vrindavan, these are the topmost platforms. There's the material world, and that gives its limited happiness. Brahma Bhuvanal Loka, from the topmost place to the lowest place, all limited happiness. And then there's the Brahmani effulgence, and one can taste that, and it is thousands and millions of times better than the material world. There's not the slightest trace of misery there, but the cost is that one loses his individuality and his ability to serve Krishna, and therefore is considered by the Vaishnavas as narakayate, kaivalyam narakayate, like hell, because there's no Krishna there. No misery, which would be a relief, but no Krishna, which makes it like hell for a devotee, an actual devotee. And above that is Vaikuntha, and above that is the Krishna Loka in Vaikuntha, and above that is Vrindavan. And the topmost dealings of Krishna with the devotees in Vrindavan is this Rasalila. Nothing to do with the material world. Nothing, nothing, nothing. So tomorrow we shall begin this most intimate and wonderful explanation. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Gaura Bhaktivedanta ki jai.